Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Ashley Peterson. She is Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Chicken Council. Ashley, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
A year ago, you and I sat down, almost in this exact same place, and we talked about the new USDA standards for chicken parts. We're a year into this. How is the poultry industry adjusting to the new standards?
Well, I think the industry is doing a pretty good job. The agency stated in their rule that 60% of the industry was going to fail the performance standard. And right now, only about 40% are not meeting the performance standard. And so the agency has indicated that they're quite pleased with the progress that the industry has made to date. We've been about 6 months that we've actually had the parts performance standard. It was supposed to start in May, but because of some sampling inconsistencies out in the industry, we were able to get that pushed back a little bit. So July 1st was the magic date. So we're about 6 months in, and the data is trending downward. So it looks like for both Salmonella and Campylobacter, we're getting a lot better.
Do you have any numbers you can share with us?
I do. So for parts, on a quarterly basis, the agency puts about a year's worth of data out on an aggregate. And so the data that I have is the last three quarters. So for parts
of 2016.
Correct. In December, they published for the whole year of 2016, and they were about 15.4%. And if you remember, when they did the baseline, the industry was running about 25%.
That's quite a drop. So
that's quite a drop over that time frame. And it's trended downward. So the three quarters ago, it was 18.2% for parts. Two quarters ago, it was 16.9, and now we're at 15.4. So definitely making some great progress.
Excellent. Now, some people would say, well, it is great progress, but you still have that 15%. Is chicken safe to eat?
Oh, absolutely, chicken is safe to eat. As long as you cook it to 165, then yes.
And that's really what it comes down to, doesn't it? I mean, with there all this activity about managing salmonella in live production and in processing, but it really comes down to how the meat is handled and how well it's cooked.
That's a very important part of it. But yes, we will continue to improve. The industry will continue to get better on both Salmonella and Campylobacter, for sure.
What about educational efforts for the end user?
So we work very closely with USDA as part of educational efforts. We have a lot of information on the National Chicken Council website, if I can put a little plug in there. The National Chicken Council has a lot of cooking instructions, recipes, that sort of thing that we encourage people to go to. But USDA does their Cook, Clean, Chill, and Separate campaign, and we're very supportive of that. But again, I think people know how to cook their chicken. I think a lot of people are maybe in a hurry or what have you, but use your meat thermometer. That's a very important tool in the kitchen.
Tell us about that. What exactly does that mean?
Buffered peptone water has traditionally been used to rinse whole birds and chicken parts in order for the agency to determine the prevalence of Salmonella and Campylobacter. ARS has done some research looking at the impact of the antimicrobials that we're using in a processing plant on the prevalence of that rinsate. So the rinsate is the buffered peptone water. You know, we talk about the shake and bake. You put the chicken in the bag and, you know, shake it up with the buffered peptone water, and that's how you do your sampling. So they came up with a neutralized buffered peptone water because there was some concerns about continuing activity of the antimicrobials on the chicken parts or our whole birds. And so through some research that they performed, they decided that they were going to change this, and it has been quite a big change for the industry as well.
Because they were getting false negatives before, is that what was happening?
That was the concern, is that they were getting false negatives. I don't have any data to support that necessarily, but I can tell you that since July 1st, the prevalence on whole birds coming out of the chiller has actually gone up, partly as a result from this neutralized buffered peptone water. So it's kind of changed the playing field a little bit for the industry, and one of the concerns that the industry has is that when the agency did their baseline, they used a different solution. They used the regular buffered peptone water. And so now they've changed the process, and they didn't go back and redo the baseline.
So we're kind of moving the goalposts around in the middle of the game?
Maybe a little bit. I think the industry will adjust, but it's going to take a little bit of time because, again, like you said, the goalposts have moved and we kind of have a new ballgame.
Will they go back and maybe redo those standards, do you think?
We have asked that they go back and do that. It does take a lot of time and money to go and do those sorts of efforts. So I'm not sure that they'll do it on the chicken parts that we have a performance standard for right now. But the agency is looking at establishing performance standards for other parts that weren't included in that initial baseline.
Let's shift gears and talk about antibiotics.
Okay.
Before we even went on camera, you said this has been kind of a dividing or polarizing issue. What are you hearing from your members about the antibiotic issue?
Well, I think everybody agrees that responsible antibiotic use is important. Whether or not you're an NAE flock or no antibiotics ever, it's a veterinarian's responsibility to make sure that the birds are healthy. So even in those flocks, if you have a sick flock, you know, a veterinarian is going to treat that flock because it's the right thing to do for animal husbandry, animal welfare. But you're right, it's definitely a divided industry on whether or not it's better to go raise without antibiotics or it's better to use a low dose of antibiotics for prevention. Obviously with guidance 213 and the veterinary feed directive that just came out starting January 1st of this year, you can no longer use medically important antibiotics for growth promotion purposes. So the industry has already moved away from that. The other part of that is veterinary oversight. So all antimicrobials that are prescribed need to be under the direction of a veterinarian. And in the poultry industry, we're very fortunate. We've got excellent poultry veterinarians out there monitoring the health of all of our flocks who can make that determination as to whether an antibiotic is necessary or not.
Why do you think poultry has become the lightning rod for this issue? Because we hear all these food service companies coming out saying, well, we're only going to have antibiotic-free poultry. These companies also serve pork sandwiches and beef sandwiches. Why are they picking on poultry?
Well, I think at the end of the day, because of how we're structured as an industry, it's simpler. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simpler for us to move away from traditional antibiotic use.
Because of the shorter life cycle?
Because of the shorter life cycle, because of vertical integration. On the red meat side, so the beef industry or the pork industry, those animals may move around a little bit from owner to owner, especially in the beef industry. And so tracking what antibiotics are used in that process may be a little bit more difficult. But for us, I think that the trend is definitely moving in that direction away from using antibiotics. But, that's customer preference. And I think at the end of the day, customer preference is pushing this much faster than FDA can ever push this.
And the ironic thing about it, though, is more than 80% of the antibiotics that have been used in poultry are not on the list of medically important antibiotics.
Absolutely. Ionophores are the main antibiotic that is used, and that is not used in human medicine at all, so there's no concern for resistance, which is the reason that people have been moving away from medically important antibiotics was for the issue of resistance. But yes, ionophores are very important for the industry to maintain gut health, and when you have a healthier gut, you're going to have better absorption of nutrients, so birds are going to just grow better and do better, and it's an added bonus of ionophores.
Still, to a lot of consumers, they're in a supermarket and they see no antibiotics ever, raised without antibiotics. That sounds healthier or more wholesome to them. It also costs a lot more.
It does cost more, but at the end of the day, food safety is what I work, that's my area of expertise, and I use that term quite loosely. I'm not sure I'm an expert in that, but when you look at food safety and you look at potential Salmonella or Campylobacter, I don't know that there's any difference between regular conventional raised chicken and raised with antibiotics. So we don't want people to think that because they're buying chicken that's raised with antibiotics that they can mishandle that product. And that's very important that it all needs to be handled the same.
Last year, the American Association of Avian Pathologists released a couple of statements, one on welfare, one on antibiotics. And one of them specifically urged the industry, they just said that the health and well-being of flocks should not be sacrificed in the name of marketing an antibiotic-free product. Is there a concern about that, you feel, from a production standpoint?
I think that the industry would agree with that statement. If you have a sick flock, it needs to be treated, whether or not that flock was initially destined to be raised with antibiotics. I think it's the veterinarian's role to treat those birds if they are, in fact, sick, and that's what we're seeing.
Do you think by coming out and making these antibiotic-free claims, has that, it's obviously created at least a two-tier poultry market. Does that make the what we might call conventional poultry, does that cast a negative light on it when we start talking about antibiotic-free and we put a higher price tag on it?
I think it has the potential to. We're all about choice in the marketplace, so whether you want organic chicken or raised by antibiotic chicken or conventional chicken, that's fine, and it's going to have a different price point. So it's really up to the customer to determine whether they want to pay that premium for that product or not.
But in the end, and I think the National Chicken Council has said this, it's pretty much all antibiotic-free anyway.
Technically speaking, yes. We have withdrawal times that we have to follow per FDA, and USDA tests all meat products, not just poultry, but red meat and as well, for any residues of antibiotics that may be in the meat. And there aren't any on poultry.